My name's Pratik Kalani, and you're listening to the Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3 FM. More than 90,000 people are currently living with HIV in the UK, and globally, an estimated 33.3 million people have HIV. More than 25 million people between 1981 and 2007 have died from the virus, making it one of the most destructive pandemics in history. On December 1st, we celebrated World AIDS Day, a day where people worldwide have the opportunity to unite in the fight against HIV, show their support for people living with HIV, and to commemorate people who have died. This week on Health Justice Radio, we talk about current developments in AIDS treatments and research with Dr. Mark Weinberg. Dr. Weinberg is a prominent Canadian AIDS researcher and activist. He was former president of the National AIDS Society and was instrumental in founding the Canadian Association for HIV Research. Dr. Weinberg and his collaborators were the first to identify the antiviral capabilities of 3TC, or lamivudine, a first-line drug in HIV therapy in 1989. He is currently the director of the McGill University AIDS Center at the Montreal Jewish General Hospital, where he's also a professor of medicine and microbiology.
Listening to Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Weinberg.
My pleasure.
So you've been doing this for a long time now. Can you tell our listeners how you first got involved with AIDS research and how this eventually seeped into advocacy?
Well, you know, I had done a sabbatical many years ago in the early 80s in the laboratory of Dr. Robert Gallo at the National Institutes of Health in the United States, and he is one of the individuals who is credited with having discovered the HIV virus that causes AIDS. So when AIDS really started to emerge in 1983, 1984, it seemed quite natural that I would want to make the jump from what I was doing previously, which actually also involved working on retroviruses, directly into trying to make a difference for a disease that looked as though it was going to have increasing importance in years to come.
Where would you say your major successes have been?
Well, definitely, I'm very proud of two things in particular. One is that, of course, as you mentioned in the introduction, we share in the responsibility that led, discovery of 3TC, which is a first-line drug used in HIV therapeutics. The other thing that I'm very proud of is that I was really one of the key individuals, perhaps the key individual, I'm not sure, who made a decision that in the year 2000 we should organize the International AIDS Conference for the first time ever in a developing country setting, and that was Durban, South Africa. And the reason that was so important is that it was really a political decision on our part, as well as, if you will, a scientific decision. The reason is that HIV was already devastating the African continent, but until that time, hardly anybody in Africa had access to life-saving antiretroviral drugs. So that by holding the conference in South Africa, we really attracted tremendous media attention from everywhere in the world, and we focused the eyes of the world on how Africa was completely bereft of antiviral drugs that were routinely being made available to everybody with HIV in North America and Western Europe and in other rich areas. So this contrast was so stark that the politicians worldwide started to agree and wake up and to state we have to do something better than what we've been doing. And the result today is that the numbers of people in Africa who now have access to antiretroviral drugs is in the millions.
Do you, initiatives like World AIDS Day and these AIDS conferences are definitely extremely important in the battle against AIDS. Do you think these initiatives have been given adequate attention in South Africa?
Well, you know, South Africa is a very important country for several reasons. First, it has the highest number of AIDS cases in the world, probably, you know, around 10 million, which is a staggering number. And you know, the proportion of South Africans who live with HIV is also very high. In neighboring Botswana, it's estimated that something like 30% of the population are suffering from HIV infections. But there we're talking about a population that's only about 200, I'm sorry, we're talking about a population that's a total of about 2 million. So we're talking about 700,000 people having HIV, unlike South Africa, where the numbers are so much larger. And then for many years, you know, it sort of has slipped away from the public mind, but the president of South Africa refused to provide antiretroviral drugs to the citizens of his country. And that was just a terrible thing. The reasons may have been economic. Nobody really knows. But certainly I think the situation in South Africa today under the new president has improved dramatically.
So would you say public perceptions in South Africa have changed as well?
I think that most South Africans are very much aware of HIV. They're very much aware that they should take defensive measures to ensure that they do not become HIV infected.
Okay. A lot of us are, at least a lot of us in the West, are aware that there are many non-pharmacological barriers to treatment, and the primary one that's usually addressed in newspapers is the lack of education. We seem to have tackled this well in North America, but how would you say it's being addressed in South Africa? Are there any other non-pharmacological barriers to treatment?
Well, I think, as I said, for a time there were political barriers to treatment, but that situation has now improved. End result has to be to treat everybody, and it's so vitally important that we do this because there is growing evidence that if we bring treatment to the world, not only will we successfully treat individuals who are suffering from HIV, but also, and very importantly, we will also succeed in lowering the amount of virus in the bloodstream of all these individuals. And if we do that, then a side benefit, and a very important one, will be that these people become less infectious for everybody else. That will be a tremendous thing because it will enable us really to not only help individuals, but also directly contribute to a lessening of HIV transmissions around the world.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of recent talk in newspapers about drug developments and how they seem to tackle every facet, like different drugs tackle different facets of HIV transmission and virulence and pathogenicity. These targets do you think researchers should prioritize, and why should they? Should they aim to decrease the side effects, or should they simplify regimens, or is resistance more of a problem?
Well, there's no question the virus can mutate very easily to become resistant to all of the drugs that we use in therapy, and we have to be very careful to minimize the development of drug resistance by using drugs in combination. One of the lessons that we've learned is that this kind of strategy can work almost all of the time. So we try to be very careful to minimize the development of drug resistance. Now, having said that, we always need to have newer and better drugs because the virus does ultimately manage to start to grow again in some people. And if we don't provide new drugs to people who have developed resistance to the older ones, we may not be able to save them.
Right. That's definitely extremely important. Do you think more money is needed in research at the moment?
Well, you know, we're never going to solve important diseases only by throwing money at the problem. You know, we've thrown a lot of, you know, probably billions of dollars into trying to cure all kinds of cancers, and that hasn't always worked out well. So we need to do good research. We need to have smart people doing the best possible research. Sometimes, you know, getting more important brain power focused on a problem can be more important than money. So I'd say it's a combination of both, but you can't just solve the HIV problem with money alone.
Right, that's true. What would you say has been the greatest step forward in the fight against AIDS over the past 10 years?
I'd say definitely the development of the antiviral drugs has by far been the greatest success story. We still don't have a vaccine to protect against HIV, which everyone would like to have, and we still don't know how to cure HIV once it gets into the body. So I would say, without question, our greatest success has been the development of the drugs that now enable people to live indefinite lifespans.
Right. So it's definitely, like, as you would say, an improvement in the quality of life and an improvement in the length of years lived.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I know I've looked at your research, and could you tell a bit to our listeners about microbicides in general and why they might be effective? And what you're working on right now specifically?
Well, microbicides would be agents that women who are vulnerable to HIV infection might use to protect themselves against the virus. These would usually be products that a woman could insert vaginally prior to anticipation of sexual relations with men whom she might not know that much about or perhaps is afraid of. We have to remember that conditions for women in many developing country settings can be far worse than they are in Canada. Very often, a woman might not have the right or ability to say no in terms of sexual relations to a man who is in a position of control over her. And of course, there are probably many more sex workers in developing country settings on a proportionate basis than there are in a country like Canada. And we have to remember those women are working in that trade not because they enjoy it, but because they need the money to support families and so forth. So we have to be mindful of the fact that people in such situations can be very vulnerable, and we ought to be able to offer them something that might afford protection. And there have been some important research strides in the right direction. Last year, there was a very important clinical trial that showed that one of the drugs that we use in therapy to treat people can also have potential as a vaginal microbicide. And hopefully, we will continue to make progress along these lines moving forward. Our research, for the most part, is still focused on HIV drug resistance. And we are also becoming very, very involved in trying to develop a vaccine that might protect against HIV. And we're hopeful that our efforts will, of course, be successful.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Weinberg, you touched upon the issue of women's rights and the inability of a lot of women in developing countries, as you mentioned, not having, like, the inability of them to advocate for themselves and their own sexual health. Do you think Western aid agencies have been targeting their initiatives well in terms of providing support to these women, or have we focused more on providing necessary medications?
Well, you know, I think we have to make sure that everybody in the world has access to antiretroviral drugs, regardless of their ability to pay for such products themselves or not. It's not an easy task, but, you know, we have to do our best to make sure that we have success in this regard. There are international agencies that have been established exactly for this purpose. So we will want to make sure that countries like Canada contribute our fair share of funding in support of these international agencies. And I think we have to also hope that countries like Canada, can have influence in regard to HIV education and awareness campaigns around the world so that we collectively can ensure that we find ways of putting an end to the HIV epidemic as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any hopes for the future?
You always have to be optimistic or you're doomed. So, of course, we have to be hopeful. And I am. I'm hopeful that our best possible research moving forward will indeed enable us to shine a light that will really represent a profound change in our progress and enable us to end the AIDS epidemic once and for all.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to see anything change on the provincial and federal level in Canada in response to AIDS?
Well, certainly I'd like all levels of government to prioritize HIV to a greater extent than is perhaps the case right now, and recognize that Canada does have international responsibilities. We are really looked upon as a world leader, and we ought to reckon that responsibility is weighty, and we have to take it very seriously indeed.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned progress towards an AIDS vaccine. If you had to set a target or sort of a reasonable assumption as to when the populace could expect one, because there has been talk of one over the past, especially over the past 5 years, progress towards it, especially with recent developments in gene therapy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, unfortunately, I'll have to end the interview with this answer because I've got another appointment that I have to run to. But I think that the development of an HIV vaccine is in many ways the most important accomplishment that any of us could hope for in our field. The problem, of course, is that the virus is able to mutate so quickly that even if we had a vaccine, it's impossible to know for how long it might work. Maybe we would need newer vaccines to be developed all the time, the same as is necessary for viruses such as influenza that also are capable of undergoing mutations at a rapid rate. And we also have to recognize that the social issues that surround HIV are also difficult in terms of ensuring that a vaccine will be developed anytime soon. In short, I don't think anyone has a right to promise that we will have a vaccine by the year 2015 or 2020 or 2025, because it would be irresponsible. We've made too many suggestions in the past that a vaccine was almost around the corner, only to be stymied each and every time. And the last thing we ought to do is give false hope. So I think right now that we have to prioritize HIV vaccine research. We have to do our best, and we have to really strategize in important ways while recognizing that the task is really very, very difficult. And let me illustrate why. If you look at other sexually transmitted diseases and ask, well, do we have vaccines against those? The answer is not many. We don't have a vaccine against gonorrhea. We don't have one against herpes. We don't have one against syphilis. There's really only one case of success, and it's just something that's come about in the last few years, and that's human papillomavirus. There are no other real success stories. So perhaps one of the answers is that it's a lot more difficult to develop a vaccine that targets a sexually transmitted infection than one that targets a virus such as influenza or other infectious agents that cause respiratory infections. Maybe targeting a sexually transmitted illness is much more difficult.
Definitely some food for thought. Thank you, Dr. Weinberg, for taking the time out of your busy schedule today to talk to us.
It's my pleasure.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like more information about HIV and AIDS, please visit the website www.aids.gov, which contains a lot of useful links and information on the impact of this disease. If you wish to learn more about our collective, you can visit our website at www.healthjusticeradio.com. Thank you for listening today, and we're signing off with a song by M83 called Midnight City.